it's like when you hear when in the UK and they're like heat wave at 25 degrees.
I love it when they're like when it's degrees. Been 3 days in a row and they're like, but yeah. I mean, to be fair, they have no air conditioning in England.
Yeah. Mum was in Scotland visiting family and there was like a heat wave, inverted commas. Like it was like 26 degrees. But the,
is it muggy?
The windows of a shop shattered and they're like, it's because of the heat. And I was like, what the fuck are you making your glass out of? Sugar? Hello and welcome back to Snap Break High. We are up to season 4, episode 26, which is the last episode of the season.
We made it.
Oh my God.
It's amazing.
And if anyone's ever noticed, we really have been fucking crawling towards this finish line. I know some people have seen on Instagram because I put a post up that my house got broken into. This is Jane, by the way. That's Leanne over there.
Hi.
My house got broken into and trashed and things taken. So I've kind of had a full-time job trying to prove to my insurance company that I own the things that I own. And yeah.
Do you know what's been ridiculous? So it's been shit. So that's why. So we're a week, not a week, we're a cycle out. We would have finished last fortnight.
Yeah.
This one came out. The part that's been ridiculous is some of the stuff you have is like, so it's very sentimental to you, but I'm like, no, who would claim this if they didn't have it?
So things like, so my Nintendo Switch got stolen, which, I mean, I have insurance, so I'm just very lucky. I mean, it's lucky, but also foresight.
Yeah.
I have contents insurance, so like I can get stuff replaced. So the Switch doesn't bother me. I didn't even really use it. Part of me is like, can I just have the money instead of the Switch? But they're not going to do that. The worst thing was that like basically almost every single item of jewelry I've ever owned was stolen, but the majority of it was sterling silver. Which I know like pawn shops don't buy because they don't get enough return on it. So who the fuck knows? Maybe they like melt it down or whatever. Stole all of my medications, some which are well and truly out of date, but I just keep because that's the kind of person I am. Also somewhat hilariously stole my cat's medication.
I'm glad because wasn't it for like fungal?
Antifungal,
yeah. So good for them.
Yeah, good. I hope it gave him massive diarrhea. And probably the worst, I mean, the jewelry was a real fucking gut punch because I have pieces that aren't made anymore or were one-offs anyway, and I'm not the kind of person that documents, like I don't take photos of my jewelry and, you know, some of them, you know, I've had since I was a teenager and now they're gone and I either can't prove that I own them, I'm obviously not going to get them back, but I had 3 boxes of ashes stolen. So they were in these little like wooden decorative boxes. So the only thing I can think is that he thought they were really, really hard to open jewelry boxes or something.
That's the only thing I can think of.
Either that or he was so out of his own fucking head. He's like, this is obviously a crack box. This is where this bitch keeps a crack.
He may well have snorted the ashes.
Look, they're gone. I'm probably not going to get them back. I was very upset about those. But the one thing that kind of gets me through is the thought of him getting one of them open.
Yeah, that's true.
And just getting ashes on him.
It's like a glitter bomb.
Yeah. Ash bomb. Fuckwit.
Do you know what pissed me off? I'm going to go on a rant on your behalf and on the behalf of almost all Australians, especially those who are renting. So there's a rental crisis in Australia. It's probably similar in other countries. They're very expensive. Landlords are going absolutely fucking nuts, or rental agencies are, with price increases and stuff.
And even like kicking people out so that they can raise the rent.
Yes. And so Jane and my friendship is entirely maintained via text message gifts and Instagram reels that we send to each other when we're not in the same room. And so there's literally only 2 times I can think that we've called each other. Once I called her when I met a musician that I like adore and I was like, oh my God, we hugged. This is important enough to phone call. And so Jane called me and she has a stupid picture as her contact on my phone. And so
is that me covering sunscreen?
No, it's the one you made where you've turned your face into a heart.
Oh, that's
like,
right.
Yeah, and so we should post that picture. It's not identifiable.
No, you're not posting that picture.
And so I have, because I've seen this funny picture, answered it in like a really joking, obnoxious way.
I knew she was going to do this because if she rang me, I would do exactly the same thing. So I was like, I felt bad because I knew it was going to happen and that she was going to feel bad, even though this is the same. Like if she rang me, I'd be like, what the fuck are you ringing me for? And the problem is that there is a possibility that it is an emergency. So she answered the phone and went, suspicious.
Oh, that's right.
And I was like, my house has been broken into.
So that happened, right? So Jane's called me crying. Jane doesn't cry that often. I'm an idiot who's making jokes as her house is like in shreds around her. And so
Leanne came and saw my house. It really was in shreds.
So I went over there. Jane's mum and I were over there to be like really just back up. We just stood in different spots of the house going, well, we can't help in any way.
Holy shit.
Yeah. And so Jane is trying to get in contact with the rental agency because, hey, her house has literally the door was broken, right? Mm. And their response was, after she spent forever, the emergency line wouldn't answer. Like, there's so many ways you tried to contact them.
When I got home, it was about 4:30 in the afternoon, and so they're still open. They're open till 5:30. So I rang the police, and they said, someone's going to ring you back. And I was like, cool. So in the meantime, I'll ring my rental property manager and just tell them. So I rang, got the front office, and she's like, oh, she's not here at the moment. And I was like, the house has been broken into. There's been damage to the house. And she's like, yep, she'll call you back. And she didn't. So now it was out of hours and the front door was fine. They'd come in through the back door and Jimmy had opened and broken the lock. So I had to find the emergency number. I rang the emergency number, which turned out to just be the office number that had a recorded message saying, if you have an out of hours emergency, please call this mobile number. I called that mobile number 3 times and it was off. Or at least like going straight to voicemail. So I sent a text message to it going, yo, my house is broken into, the door's fucked, I'm ringing a locksmith, pay me back later, basically. And then they didn't even call me. They just texted me back and said, oh, hey, can you use this locksmith?
And also, before they could be helpful at all, they went, can you just confirm there's any other damage to the house?
Yep.
Not.
And can you send us photos?
Yeah.
Can you give me a fucking second? So the police couldn't come until the next morning to do the fingerprinting and stuff. I couldn't even sleep in my own bed because a heap of stuff had been pulled out of my cupboards and thrown onto my bed.
Potential evidence.
Yeah. So I had to, me and my two fat cats had to sleep on the couch together.
Before everyone thinks I'm a shit friend, I did offer that she come to my house.
Yeah. And my mum, obviously, and Leanne, and like even my neighbour across the road was like, you can stay here. But I was like, well, if they come back, who's going to stab them? Mm. So
we'd moved on from devastated to vengeance very quickly.
And the guy like fixed the lock and he said, look, you need a new lock because it's broken, but it's locked for now. So it wasn't until lunchtime the next day my rental person got back furious. In touch with me and she's like, oh, the landlord. And look, I think my landlord is a legend because she said the landlord said just do whatever it takes to make her feel safe. But it took them 3 days to rekey, like to get a new lock and to rekey the front lock. It's been 2 months and I just had someone come out to, I thought they were replacing the back screen door because that had actually been ripped, the frame had been ripped off the wall. They were just told to fix it. But luckily that tradie was a legend and she said, I'll put it down as basically unfixable.
And all of this, not all of this happened because, but this was aided by the fact that Jane's backyard is accessible via a broken down fence that they refused to acknowledge.
Yeah. So there was a piece of fence that broke nearly 2 years ago. In March, it'll be 2 years, I think. They've never got it fixed. So I have an inspection on the 24th, which is about a week from now, and I will be home. And I will be having a face to, she must be fucking packing it. She'd know it, like, because it's school holidays. If I was here, I would have done it outside the school holidays. Yeah. So, yeah, look, it sucks. I'd like to thank everyone that said very nice things or liked the post on Instagram.
And claimed vengeance as well. So I appreciate it.
Let's all go get this fucker. But we are finally at the point where we can end season 4. Only 6,000 episodes of this show to go, people.
I will post it today, the day that we're recording, which is redundant to you guys because it'll have already been out, but I will post our end of season awards, yep. Right? And going through the seasons and my notes to put down different categories and, you know, people, you know, relationships. Holy fuck. Do you know Steve died in this season?
Right at the start.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much that I'm like, how?
Actually, there is a line that Declan says in this episode that I want to talk about.
Okay.
Which pertains to Steve somewhat.
I thought you might enjoy a bit of a guessing game. How many characters, main characters in the initial title cast, like so in
the very like season one?
No, sorry, in the intro cards. So okay. You know, yeah. Okay, so okay. In the intro cards, how many did we lose this season?
As in just have left, not just
have
died.
Left the show, yeah.
Steve.
Oh, you're gonna proper count. Yeah, go for it.
I'm gonna try. Steve. I know I'm like staring at his face in my brain. Summers.
Tom.
Tom.
Yep.
Allie. That teacher. The science teacher.
Belle.
we're up to four. Does Danny count?
Yeah, Danny counts. Yeah.
Okay. spoiler, Danny leaves. five. I feel like there was someone else that just went, all right, bye.
Do you want to say six then? Is your guess six?
I think I'm going to go six.
The answer is seven.
Oh.
Steve, Andrew Bell, Tom Summers, Ali Matz, Danny Miller, Jim Delarain left this season.
Oh, my God.
And Con Bordino.
Oh, my God.
What show? You're usually the one that does this, but what show has seven main cast members leave?
If you had told me to put money on whether I thought – Con and Delarain had left this season or last season,
yeah.
I would have put it all on last season.
Yeah, that's
holy shit.
Yeah, isn't it crazy? Like, so it has been a big, big season. We've also gained a whole lot of new people.
Ronnie.
We gained Ronnie, Declan, Stassi, June.
Yep.
Are all new. Charlie is new as well. So yeah. five new cast members.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. Anyway, and that doesn't even include the people who were like main characters for one. So like Athel Pike, the shitty math teacher, Linda, Bolton's girlfriend.
That one mature age student that came and tried to mix shit up.
Yes. Yep. So all of those guys, I need to add that in. That's one of the storylines I need to add in to my favorite storyline of the season. Holy, like favorite storyline of the season, there's like 60 options. That's how many. So, yeah, I will have this posted
by now. If any of you put down Ali and what's his face.
The best relationship.
As your best relationship or favourite storyline, I will block you.
Jane already had a stroke when we did it last. Do you know last season was Sam and Rivers. Only last season.
Yep.
That was season three.
Yeah.
That's when
that was
all
them leaving.
All the old cast like Jody and that left.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. This show is insane.
Do you want to know something? It's going to horrify you.
Yes.
Out of the top three cast members in regards to appearance episodes, so over the spread of the show, the cast with the highest number of episode appearances aren't even on the show yet.
Really?
Yeah. So
how many seasons did it go for? Seven.
Seven. Don't forget, we've talked about this before, the rest of the series.
Forever.
It goes 39, 40 or 39, 40, 40 in regards to episodes. So we will be having mid-season breaks on the next three seasons.
We are going to be doing this podcast until I'm like well into my 60s.
This is our retirement project. We started. It's been 84 years.
All right.
So big storylines. The end of the year's coming up, so now we do have some sort of, like, barometer that, hey, school years do end.
Yeah.
It doesn't end this episode, though.
Even though, didn't they say there's 3 days to go?
Season three, don't worry, the year continues. Season five, the school year continues.
Are you fucking serious?
Not for long, but it does. Okay. Yeah. So that's happening. Danny gets a cool offer. Matt doesn't know what to do with his life. And Charlie and Kat are thinking about getting married.
And as usual, Helen and Roberto are our comedic relief.
They are really
Roberto in particular. I love Helen though.
I love Helen. So we start with Declan and Danny on the beach counting down the three whole days left until school finishes. Is this where you want to talk about the line?
No.
No?
But the fact that it came as a surprise to me that Danny hates school so much.
She had this big monologue. It taught me to be confused.
And
it taught me to be afraid.
Fucking
like, what
Jesus.
What are you talking
You've
about?
Always been like one of the more pro-school kids.
Like, it was designed as a torture chamber.
Where the fuck is this all coming from?
I don't know. I think it's just that real – and then they're like, you don't want to leave, do you?
I think they did make a good point because I find that when we have year 12s finish, you don't realise your secondary school is finished until the next year. Because it's just like, I mean, obviously when you're in year 12, you do finish a lot earlier than the rest of the kids because you finish and then you do your exams and then you come back and do mark up day or, you know, whatever you tend to have. But I feel like when I finished year 12, it almost just feels like it's the end of the year.
Yeah.
Like any other year. But it's not until you start having to, like, I don't know, start your job or start your apprenticeship or start uni and you're like, holy shit, I don't go to school anymore.
Yeah, because you're just like, you're just waiting for the pattern to go through.
Yeah, because normally, yeah, like you'd finish and you'd have your summer holidays and then you go back to school. But this time you finish and if you're going to uni, your summer holidays grow by like a month. But then you've got to like pick your subjects and then you've got to go and do your, what is it?
That orientation.
Orientation and and that kind of stuff. And that's, I feel like that's when it really hits you that you're not at school anymore.
Yeah, true. I'm trying to think. I can't remember. It was so long ago. Speaking of 84 years. So Declan is like, hey, but, you know, you miss it, right? You're going to miss it. And she's like, yeah, I'm afraid of what's next. I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
That's fairly reasonable.
Yeah.
We go to the Bordinos. And I think Roberto's still mad about the alarm. Because he hates Charlie now.
Yeah, I thought Roberto loved Charlie.
No, because remember, the alarm didn't work. Well, so that's the first time they've had consistency across episodes.
Yeah, to the point where I forgot. Because I remember my brain remembered the bit where he and Charlie were ignoring, basically Charlie was ignoring Kat to hang out with, yes, Roberto, but I forgot that they couldn't turn the alarm off.
And he was like, Charlie?
Yeah.
So Charlie rocks up.
Because made me laugh.
And so it turns out Charlie wants to do computer science. Apparently the only place in Australia that provides computer science education is Canberra.
Now, like, I mean, I guess at the time that would almost make sense.
Not compared to you telling me there'd be not one Sydney university.
No, you do make a point. Yeah.
I'd understand if you're like maybe like in Adelaide or in Northern Territory, maybe.
Yeah, because if you're in somewhere like Sydney or Melbourne,
yeah,
you feel like those are the two main places you have to go.
Yes.
To do, like, to find a uni that's
tech based. Yeah, exactly. So.
Look, it fit into the storyline, all right?
It was ridiculous. And also, Canberra is only 3 hours away from where they are. It's not horrendous. Like, it sucks.
Oh, yeah, because I was thinking of bad. It, like, in terms of from Melbourne.
No,
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you throw a stone there.
So Roberto, though, is super supportive of Charlie moving to Canberra.
Yeah.
Speaking of Charlie, we didn't address this because it's been so long, but holy fuck, we had another cast member on the show, which is nuts. We didn't acknowledge it at all.
Oh. That was last year.
Yeah, that was last year. So, we hope you enjoyed having Sebastian give us all this insight into the background stuff that we know nothing about, which you know from our stupid questions.
Mm.
He was delightful. To be fair, all the cast members we've had interactions with have been delightful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good job, guys. Any other cast members want to come on? We get all worked up on the way. Like, we get really nervous, but then once they're on, it's fine.
Yeah, they're fine. It's just a normal conversation. It's just the beforehand because you're like, you've heard us. You know we're idiots. And we just don't know how people are going to respond to our idiocy in person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've been. We're two for two.
Yeah. Killing it.
Good odds so far.
Then we go to school. Matt is annoying.
Why does he the only thing I really noticed was, so he and Stacey are having a conversation. He's like, yeah, we should take, like, time off and do whatever.
We should go away together. She's not that into it.
No. I think I'm liking Stacey more at the moment because she seems to be the more level-headed of the two, which surprises me.
I find it hilarious that the entire relationship Matt has seemed more invested than Stacey.
Yeah, I think that's probably why I like her more at the moment.
Yeah.
But then Danny comes up. Why does he have the letter for Danny?
Because she's not, I guess, living at the warehouse now, or maybe she had left the – did she end up going to stay with Declan?
I thought no, because – remember there was a big bust up and he's like, we don't need to live together.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So
maybe
she
just wasn't there or it got delivered afterwards. Yeah, so he's basically like, here's a letter and she looks
very dramatically. But I'm sure it won't come up again, so that's cool. It's going to be fine.
When I first said, because I was writing a note, because she'd asked what they had first and I thought he was giving her a timetable.
Oh.
And I was like, why does she look so fucking aghast at this timetable?
Speaking of the timetable, they say they have biology, which means they do have separate biology classes. So why were they doing, like, chemistry, physics and bio all in the same class?
Yeah, I don't know.
Question.
Also, obviously, since Belle left, we haven't seen them in science at all.
No, only English. I like that their subjects are really entirely dependent on who is in the cast. So in the stairwell, we're back with Charlie and Kat, and they're trying to figure out a way to stay together. So she's like, I will skip business school and move to Canberra with you and get a job. Because her original plan was, I'll either get the results for business school or I'll get a job and work my way up.
Yeah.
She's like, forget business school. He doesn't want her to sacrifice, and he's saying he'll defer for a year, which, I mean, the problem's just going to come up in a year, buddy, but all right.
Yeah.
And again, 3 hours.
Yeah.
So Bolton is excited about muck-up day.
He's made me laugh. So the two of them, after their conversation, they like start kissing. And Bolton walks up and goes, that is disgusting.
Which is exactly what I do.
Oh, that's Bolton is me.
Yeah,
Bolton,
that's what I do to students.
But, yeah, he's pumped up. He's pumped for muck-up day. I don't know if muck-up day happens in, like, Europe.
That's true. I don't know.
So I went to a big private school. And we had like a sanctioned muck-up day, but we had to be out on the oval. So we were out on the oval throwing flower bombs and eggs, and I left when water bombs full of fish sauce started flying.
We had a muck-up day. Ours was pretty chill. So we had all – when I say I lived on a really outskirt suburb, like the next area over is just bushland, like It's not like that anymore because development, but back then. And so the people who lived in the bushland houses, there was one, and I don't know whose house it was, even now. We just went to this house that looked like it had no furniture. God, I hope it had. I hope we were supposed to be there now that I'm saying this. And we had a party there, and a lot of people were hungover. And so the next day, there wasn't really any pranks. We always had a goodbye concert where the Year 12 bands would play and we would, like, jump up and down. They would give us breakfast and then we'd leave. That was pretty much it.
Yeah, we had breakfast.
Yeah.
We did have an assembly and they did bring a camel into the assembly.
Oh, my God. Okay. All right, money.
I didn't pay for it. I was one of the poorest kids at that school.
When I was a teacher, see, as a student, I'm like, yeah, muck-up day's fun. As a teacher, I know the first year I was at our school was also the first year they had Year 12.
Yeah.
And basically I get to work anywhere between 7 and 7:30, and on that day I'd gotten in closer to 7, and the assistant principal who's in charge of that area, he and I got there at the same time. I'd unlocked the door. I couldn't open it because they had siliconed the door and it was just drying enough that we could yank it hard enough to break it open. So we'd already told him off for that. We're like, you know what, you get to do something. Could be fun. Just hang on a bit. But by recess they were – taking down the fire extinguishers and using them against other students who were not in Year 12. Holy inside, shit. Like they were nuts. So we ended up sending all the kids home because we're like, we can't have this here. And after that year, we would take them to – it's expensive as hell now, but we take them to Gumby Park, which is this like wildlife park, but it also has like water rides and stuff. And we would have a massive student versus teacher water fight. So my favorite year was the year that – one of the other, the science teacher and I, you would know him. He was the chemistry teacher. He was very into gaming.
Yep.
He and I, because we do a barbecue for them, packed these boxes with loaded water pistols. And so we'd put really light paper tape on them and we'd gone, oh, it's extra bread and sausages, and put it off to the side. And they had chosen to come over the hill when we least expect it because we're like, we'll do it after lunch. So we were all cooking and just before we were about to serve lunch, they came over to like ambush us.
Yeah.
And apparently one of the students went, it's the coolest thing I ever saw. Mr. Smith and you ran over these boxes, punched your hands into boxes and just pulled up these water pistols and just started attacking people. So that was fun.
The school that I was at before, my current one, they didn't do a huge amount in terms of pranks, but it was a massive dress-up day. So there'd be like we had one where a guy came as Willy Wonka, and then a bunch of kids came as Oompa Loompas with him, and then we had a bunch of girls who wore their friends who were boys, their footy uniforms, but the boys wore the girls' netball uniforms, which
okay,
was
sure.
Fucking hilarious.
Because they're so tall.
There was a boy who was about 6'4", wearing – how she ever wore this uniform again after he wore it, I don't know. But they got changed at school. So he came out and my friend and I were doing the photography and I'm like shrieking at him and I'm like, it is too short.
You need shorts on.
And then like he's like, no, it's fine, it's fine. And I was like, it's not fine. It's indecent. Go and put your footy shorts on or something. And then the head of VCE, I heard her yelling, and she fully just yelled, I can see balls.
No.
I can see your balls. It was like my friend and I, the art teacher, we were crying. We were laughing so hard. Like, it's something that I would normally say, but even I held myself back. Yeah. And apparently she just had enough. It's
like, too much. Did not need that in the morning.
His mum was one of our bus drivers. And if I had him period 5 and he'd piss me off, the two of us would have a race out to the bus and I'd be screaming down to his mum. I was like, he did this. He's like, she's lying. Yeah, that was fun.
I think my high school, as a student high school, must have banned it a couple of years, because I remember in year 7 or 8, sitting down on the toilet and all the year 12s had smeared Vaseline on all the toilet seats. That was gross.
At my mock-up day, a group of us went around and put Glad Wrap under the toilet seats.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's not going to stick on you, which is...
No, the Vaseline is gross.
Yeah, it was very gross. Yeah.
So my school had different campuses, again, being fancy private school. And there was one closer into the city and they actually got put on the news because there is a very main road into Melbourne CBD that this school is on, and they redirected the traffic. So they actually put witches' hats out. They got there super early in the morning and they put out witches' hats. I'm pretty sure one of the kids was in a fake, like, police uniform, and they had high-vis vests, and they made all the traffic from that road on the way into the CBD for work that morning, because it was like a weekday, go through the school and back out.
That's hilarious.
And
see, no one's getting harmed in that.
Yeah, some kids at my school got in deep shit because they got lime. I think it was lime, and they burnt the year. So it would have been like...
I'm sure this was on the news. This sounds familiar.
I think probably a few schools had done it, probably because it was on the news. They burnt the year, their year. So say it was like 1998 or whatever. I think it was around then. Because they were older than me. Because I got to school and I was like, what the fuck is that? They'd burnt the year, like, across the entire, like, the biggest numbers you've ever seen across our very well manicured football oval.
I like it.
Again, no one's getting hurt, but the school is pissed.
Yeah. See, that is at least not, it's vandalism that's non-permanent.
I remember their punishment. So when you sit like your HSC or your VCE exams, depending on your school. So one of the schools I've worked at, our VCE exams were actually down the road because we didn't have anywhere to hold them. So, but my school, we sat our VCE exams at school.
Yeah. Same. No, we didn't.
In our massive hall because obviously external people come in and run it, but I guess, I don't know, because we had so many students.
If you have the space, they'll let
you. So we had, the students that were caught for it had to go and sit their exams in the city.
Yeah, like, which is very common.
Yeah, there's like a place in the city where if you can't sit your exams anywhere else, basically you go and sit your exams in this place with other people, I guess.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they weren't allowed to sit their exams at school.
It happens. But, yeah, sorry, mock-up day. So, anyway, speaking of in the staff room, there are teachers, there are other teachers.
Teachers we've never seen before. They exist. I dare say we'll never see again.
So Ronnie is fighting for mock-up day, which is so unbelievable. I would never fight for mock-up day.
No.
I want to do something to celebrate the end of the year with for the kids.
I loved the dress-up day at my last school because – there's always, and like this happens in this episode, although this guy's a dick, something will happen where it goes too far.
Yeah.
And it just fucks it up for everyone because then the teachers have to get angry and then the kids get all shitty because the teachers are angry and they're like, oh, we didn't do it. And we're like, it doesn't fucking matter. Someone did it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's always very, it's a tense day.
Yeah, so I think it's, I'm not on Ronnie's side. And so Dyson's idea is lame though. We will play a cricket match.
If they went down to the beach or something and had a barbecue, that would have been fine. Cool.
Yeah. And so she's like, don't worry, I'm all over it. I'm fully ahead of Bolton. She's immediately.
I'm 3 steps ahead of Bolton or whatever.
The ovens are covered and he's flower bombed.
The thing is though, so then like she gets flower bombed. And then she storms.
Immediately to the class because there's only one year 12 class.
Yes, my note was Dyson goes and yells at the one and only year 12 class and says that anything to do with muck-up day is cancelled. And then the kids get angry with Bolton because he's like, oh, she must have found my stash. Who's hiding flower bombs in the principal's cupboard?
Honestly, Put them in the photography sex room from Rivers and
sex room. The Rivers, dark room?
Rivers and Sam, yeah.
Oh, like there's the so many sex spaces. Room. Yeah. That was one of those things where they did it for the storyline.
Yeah, they did. So, which was hilarious because then Bolton's immediate response was, don't worry, I'm a step ahead of her.
Yeah.
So I like Bolton and June.
Yeah, I like them.
They're
too.
A good team.
Danny decides that she wants to do a time capsule.
My friends and I did this.
Have you ever dug it up?
Yeah, well, we didn't bury it. I was actually in charge, so we duct taped the hell out of it so it was inaccessible.
Yep.
And then because I moved to Ballarat for university, I was the furthest away. I took it with me. So, okay. And then we opened it up 5 years later. I don't remember what I wrote at all.
I have never. Oh, no, I have done one. Whether I don't think it was ever dug up.
Really?
Well, I went on a writer's camp for gifted students when I was in year seven, I think. I was the youngest kid there. Very proud of myself.
Hang on. There you go.
Thank you. And settle down now. We all had to put one piece of our writing in there.
That's cool.
Yeah.
There is at my local library, which is my second home, on the front steps because it's on a raised, like it goes up, there is apparently underneath, there's a metal plaque that says underneath there is a bicentennial time capsule that needs to be opened, I think in another, I think it's 2050, so I'm going to have to wait another 26 years. I want to see what's in it.
Where is it?
At the library.
Oh.
Yeah, down that way. Yeah.
There you go. I think they're a good idea.
I like it.
As long as you can go back and get it.
We should do a podcast one. Send us your stuff you want us to put in a time capsule and we'll make an episode 10 years from now. Just drop it into your feed. So while Danny's suggesting this and they all put their hands in and go, yay, break, did you notice what I noticed when Matt's friend drove up, friend quotation marks?
The only thing I thought was, so as they're talking, we're kind of subtly directed to this red convertible car that drives past in the background. I thought it was going to be Con.
No, I understand why you would think that. But no, the thing I noticed was that's Lucy's car.
Is it?
It's Lucy. I'm pretty sure it's Lucy's car, which was Greta's car.
Oh, yeah.
Beforehand. They just, whose red convertible is it?
How many red convertibles are these people
driving? It has to be someone who works on the show.
Maybe.
Yeah. We need a convertible. We need to convey someone's got money. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's. Anyway. So this guy in a red convertible shows up. His name is Sonny Bates. And he is played by. He's been on the show before. The actor has.
Was he playing someone smarmy? Or a cop?
Sort of. No. He does have a cop face though. But he played Tony, which was the guy that Nick boxed with quite a few times before he died.
So anyway, Sonny drives up and gives Matt $50 that he owed him. We've never seen this dude before, have we, in terms of this character?
Absolutely not. He had money and he's like, don't worry, I don't hold grudges, okay?
Yeah. He and Matt went to the same school before Matt started at Summer Heights High. Before he started, and then I was going to say Heartbreak High. What is it?
Hartley.
Hartley.
Yeah.
Summer Heights High.
That's where Jemay comes from.
I know. My brain's given up.
We're not even far. Well, actually, we've been recording for nearly an hour.
Yeah, we also haven't recorded for a while.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do it.
The annoying thing is, so one, we don't know, we never find out why he got kicked out of school other than he blames Matt. We've got no idea why.
Yeah.
We don't know where he's been.
Seen him before. Never been mentioned before.
And we don't know why he's here now. Well, we do know.
Apparently, right? Yeah, give a crisp 50.
Settle grudges.
Yeah.
So he's like, don't worry, buddy. I don't hold grudges for you destroying my life and kicking me out of school. So I'm reassured. I don't know about you.
No, yeah, it seems legit. Fine.
Yeah.
Charlie proposes to Kat.
This is me in all caps. This is me in all caps. Charlie's solution to them maybe moving 3 hours away from each other is to propose to Katerina. Ridiculous. How does this solve the problem?
It looked like a very antique ring.
It looked, but it also looked like a wedding band, like a very old wedding band because it was quite hefty.
Yeah.
Mm.
Didn't look like Kat's kind of thing.
No.
And then she's like, so he's like, fully down on one knee, will you marry me? And she's like,
in the school.
And she's like, yes. And I was like, you fucking idiots. And then he goes, this is my favorite line. I laughed out loud. He goes, I'll go book the wedding now.
You don't call up and go, one wedding, please.
Well, the thing is,
I'd like to reserve a wedding for two.
I assume that they're going to have a registry office wedding.
Yes.
Not even a, it's not a wedding. That is not a wedding.
It's a civil ceremony.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
But like the way that they're saying wedding, it sounds like he's like, I'm just off to book the venue now. Yeah. I'm just going to book the wedding now. Okay, you do that, Charlie.
And she's like, hey, should we tell Helen and Roberto? And he's like, I mean.
He goes, nah, well, they can find out afterwards and then it'll they've got to be happy surprise. For us. Yeah, I'm sure they'll be fucking thrilled. It's the dumbest storyline.
He's so dumb. When did he become so dumb? That's not him. So
I love how they think like, well, yeah, if we're married, we'll stay together.
Yeah.
That's a given.
If we're married, we're that will end up solve each other. The part where we're 3 hours away from each other. Because marriage equals teleportation device. Anyway, Danny has been – so this letter that she was so freaked out about, she's been sent an offer to work in television reporting.
Yeah, so she's sitting in a classroom with Ronnie and Ronnie's like super psyched for her. She is less psyched.
So
– it says a cadet reporter.
In Wollongong, which is an hour and a half away. Why do these people not own, like, road transportation?
In fact, it's like, so I just need everyone to know Leanne actually grabbed her microphone in fury then. That's why she sounded so close.
It's an hour and a half. My parents live an hour away. I see them all the freaking time.
Yeah, my dad lives an hour away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't.
So we're going to see them again.
To be fair, Rose goes to a school across town and we never saw her again. She's only probably 5 minutes away.
Yeah.
So that's fair. All right, I'm back on board. That once a person is outside of Hartley, they're done.
Well, here's the thing. So Charlie's moving 3 hours away and he thinks they should get married. She's moving an hour away and needs to break up with
Yeah, so there's increments based on the distance.
Yeah. Diddly diddly diddly. Charcoal.
Bolton. Oh, sorry.
You do it every time.
I need to go back through the episode and see if Seb has mentioned Sharkpool and add him to the just have this extended yeah. shark pool. So Bolton's trying to rally the troops for Muck Up Day despite the fact that it's been cancelled.
Start a revolution.
I like it. So Danny's like, Dyson's not going to be into it. We'll all get in trouble. And Matt is like, solution, camouflage. Like the fuck, we don't know who it'll
be.
They
can't prosecute what they can't see. I think that's what he said.
Which makes no sense because camouflage doesn't make you invisible in an urban landscape.
I need everyone to know that when we get to the camouflage section, it requires at least 2, maximum 3 stripes of shoe polish on the face. That's it. Who the fuck are these people?
And camo pants and wearing khaki colours.
Yeah.
In an urban setting. What are you blending into?
Sonny's going to get involved. He reckons he can get smoke.
Yeah, we're going to smoke the school. Don't worry, it's legal. All right.
With adding.
Matt apparently can do it. You've done it before.
Yep.
Sure.
Maybe that's what he
like
got.
Dry ice smoke? I don't know.
I don't know.
Maybe smoke bomb.
It must have been.
I don't know how they work myself, so. Well,
depending on considering what happens, it must have been some kind of smoke bomb.
True.
Mm.
I try to say true and fair at the same time. True. Yeah. Try it, dude.
So the kids have decided that as part of their time capsule, they've got this thing called
Victor the Predictor.
Victor the Predictor, which is literally like an, I assume, like either African-American or Jamaican man painted onto a bin.
I didn't notice the – I know they put dreadlocks on him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, why? Why?
That makes no – yeah, what's the context here?
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically you pick a name out of a hat. For the character that you've been, or for the person you've been given, you predict what their life's going to be like in 10 years.
These kids are bastards.
Oh, yeah, I'll get to it when
we
they
get
do
to
it. Yeah.
When we get to it, yeah. So they all have to pick out a name. And then my favourite line out of this, so they pick out their names, they've got to write something, they've got to come back by 5 p.m. so they can put it in the Victor bin.
So I assume it's the middle of the school day that they're all hanging out there.
And then they're like, all right, does everyone know what their jobs are for Muck Up Day, who's getting what, blah, blah, blah. And then someone says to Bolton, don't screw it up. And he goes, don't worry, mate, I'm saving that for the exams. So we are now back. This is the bit I want to talk about. So Danny and Declan are back at the beach.
Do you know where they are? They're pretty much where Steve died.
Yeah.
Anyway, carry on.
So, and two things annoyed me. So the first thing is she's like, says to him, well, where do you think you'll be in 10 years? Because that's what they've got. That's the thing they've got to write. And he goes, I don't know, at the end of a shovel. I didn't know. Does he mean at the end of the shovel as in I am a tradie with a shovel?
I assumed a labourer.
Okay. Or does it mean
like in buried? A coffin? I don't know.
Yeah. Because I kind of went.
Very nihilistic.
Yeah, that's me. Because I was like, does he mean dead? And I was like, are they talking about being dead at the beach where Steve died at the start of this season?
Place your bets now. Which one did Danny they? Which end of the shovel is Declan talking about?
Which end of the shovel does Declan think he'll be at in 10 years? Yeah, because then afterwards I thought, maybe he means a tradie, but what tradies have shovels?
Plumbers. They have to dig stuff.
Okay.
Road workers. Anyone that needs to get anything on the ground.
They use diggers?
They could, but they also need shovels like to clear the small parts.
So did you think he meant tradie?
I thought he meant some sort of labourer. Look,
this could 100% just be me.
Worst interpretation possible.
The other thing that annoyed me is they did that 100% trope of one person trying to tell someone something. So she wants to tell Declan that she's got this job and she's going to take it. He's going, oh, at least we've got each other and, like, we don't have anything else. And, you know, you may as well be saying if we broke up, I would just die.
I've got nothing left.
But what was it you wanted to say to me?
But it was annoying because she went,
oh, I'll tell you later.
Yeah, but she also went, oh, I've got something to tell you. And he went, oh, did you hear about Kat? And I hate when people go, they do that. Where you're like, no, I was telling a story.
If someone said to me, I've got something to tell you.
And they said, don't worry. I'm like, well, I'm not letting this go.
Well, yeah. And that's the thing. If anyone says to me the phrase, I've got something to tell you, my heart drops out my anus, all right? It doesn't matter. They could be telling me that could be something good. Maybe they're like having a kid, which is good for them, or they're getting engaged or something good's happened. But my brain, much like the end of the shovel, immediately goes, something bad's happened. Or the same thing at work when someone says to me, can I talk to you for a second? Immediate drop of the guts because I'm like, oh, no.
What did I break?
What have I done wrong?
What have you caught me on?
Yeah. If someone said to me, I've got something to tell you, I wouldn't like interrupt them and go, well, actually.
Yeah. Here's my story.
So she doesn't tell him.
I would also, if someone says to me, oh, can I tell you something? And then goes, no, don't worry about it. No.
Yeah. Like, you can't do that. They were the most annoying people at high school.
Yeah, they were.
The ones who were like, oh, I've got something to say, but I can't tell you.
Do you know what those people are doing now? They're on Facebook going, oh, sometimes you can't trust anyone. And then someone goes, what do you mean? Don't want to talk about it. So I don't have Facebook anymore. It's the same people that post a picture of themselves at hospital going, not feeling great. And then someone goes, what's wrong? It's private.
How dare you ask me about my hospital stay that I've just posted?
People are so rude.
Have you seen that? I actually feel bad for her now, but there was a TikToker called Beth the Baker.
Yes. Have you seen it? Oh, my God.
So, all right. So her tag, like her name is Beth the Baker. My paycheck. And her whole content is about baking. So I think someone even looked and said it's been 3 months since you posted a non-baking related post. And she did a post where she's like, I hate it when people ask me what my favorite thing to make is. She's like, you know what my favorite thing to make is? She's baking while she's doing this, by the way, is my paycheck.
This is my job, not my hobby. My favorite part is when she goes, my husband is a general manager of a restaurant and he doesn't get asked this question. And I'm like, because nobody's going, what's your favorite restaurant to general manage?
And it's not, I imagine he probably doesn't have a TikTok called Pete the General Manager where every post of his is him general managing a fucking restaurant. So I feel like I do feel bad because it was one of those things where like it was just a full pile on, but she did kind of bring it on herself.
Yeah. Anyway, we've gotten distracted. So bad news, kids. We can't get married without registering a month beforehand.
Yeah. So Kat and Charlie find out they need a month's notice to get married and they decide they're going to get married A month to the day.
Do you know what's hilarious though? Because she's like, oh, but I want to do it now. And he goes, oh, don't you think you want to get married in a month? And she's like, I mean, yeah. I guess. Fuck.
Shouldn't some alarm bells be ringing at this point?
Exactly. Anyway, Roberto wanders in with a pair of hedge trimmers to continue hating on Charlie, which was nice.
Yeah, I liked him with the hedge clippers. Roberto's always good for a laugh.
He is. We go back to school. So Don Summers, Department of Education head and known child assault supporter and
people
apologist.
Must talk so much shit behind his back.
Reminder.
About his son.
Reminder. Tom Summers is his father. Is his son. Don Summers is Tom Summers' father.
Yeah.
And he got a student pregnant.
Yeah.
And
so also had something untoward
allusions to
happen at his last school.
Which Don covered up.
Yeah. Apparently Papa Summers is just getting his son into all these schools where he's impregnating
fucking
kids.
Fucking mafia of education. And apparently no one – so he – Tom Summers was being investigated though when he left. So why the hell is Don Summers not being investigated? Was he doing the investigation? This is like when the mining magnates are involved in the climate change boards.
I feel like Don should be stepped down just for being a family member.
So he who's like, hey, you know what's okay? Kids getting pregnant by teachers. But you know what's not okay? Muck up day. So he's off to do a crackdown inspection.
Yeah, he's doing an impromptu visit to Hartley High on muck up day.
I feel like this is simply because he's pissed off that June has called out
his
son.
Maybe.
Yeah. Anyway, so fuck their Department of Education. It is bullshit.
Sharkpool.
So we're back at Sharkpool. Obviously, it must be 5 p.m. somewhere. And they've got the Victor the Predictor container.
Before they do that.
Yes.
Danny is at the counter and she's like, I want to have a reunion every year. I don't want to lose my friends. This is important. And I'm like, what about all your other friends? Remember the entire cast of Friends that have left and been replaced?
Con and Jody.
I don't give a shit about those
Jody
guys.
Jody was like her best friend.
And then
and Rose.
Ali was her best friend. Rose was her best friend. Yep. Chucka was her best friend. Like all of these people individually at one point were her best friend.
And never mentioned again.
Never mentioned again because they weren't around when she left school.
Don't worry, Danny. You'll get to Wollongong and give it 5 minutes and you'll forget these people even existed.
And don't worry. They'll forget you too because we never hear about you again. Declan literally is still in the cast. We're not going to hear about you.
Wow.
I don't remember if there's actual specific conversations, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Victor the Predictor has Matt first and they determine he's going to be an engineer and rich and successful.
So this is the thing, right? So Matt's the first one out and they're like, he's going to be an engineer
really
and
nice.
He's going to be rich and he's going to have a nice place in the city and he's going to have a beach house and a villa
life.
In Italy and all this kind of stuff. And that's how I figured because these are friends writing about their friends. Like I just thought this would be the tone.
It
takes a dive.
You would think, like, I would expect some sledging. Like, they were like, yeah, he's rich and he's got a hot wife and an engineer, but he still can't spell. Or, like, you know, something stupid like that.
Yeah.
You know?
No. So we're kind of eased into it. And we're like, oh, yeah, Matt's done pretty well out of this. And then we kind of flip back to the school. Dyson and Ronnie are searching the school.
Dyson's checking lockers.
Yeah, just, which you're not allowed to do. Just kind of trying to find anything, more flower bombs or whatever. Ronnie finds her earring. So we're back at the shark pool and Kat is next. And she gets told she's going to be overweight and watching
four kids.
With four kids watching soap operas and is barefoot and pregnant.
Has a workaholic husband.
And then because Charlie's next.
Also, can I just sidetrack? Can I point out when they start reading out these predictions with these intercut scenes of let's search for muck up day paraphernalia.
Yep.
Kat and all the Scooby Gang are like, gather around, guys, gather around. Like, so all the extras have to stand around and listen to your friendship group sledge each other?
Yeah.
Why are they being told to
are
gather around?
Are they meant
around?
To look like they're part of it? I'm because sure all their names are in there.
They're not in the fucking time
Scooby
capsule.
Gang.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that was weird.
Charlie.
So Charlie's is obviously very closely linked to Kat's, which means that these two people must have written them together.
Yeah, so
Matt
it was like
Stassi.
He works a lot and then he left his fat wife and he's been nerding out on computers but then he finds someone hot and it's all good.
And then he gets out of computers and life's great.
Yeah, it's very suspicious.
But the look on Kat and Charlie's face is like, this is actually what's going to happen.
Yeah, because we're getting married.
Yeah, and they're like, well, I don't want to get married now. Not if, you know, you're going to end up fat and I'm going to end up
working.
Yeah, but, yeah, with four kids.
Yeah, no, so, and you know what's, okay, so then the next two, right, Bolton grabs his and rips it up, and then Declan's is also like,
Okay.
Also, by the way, Bolton and Declan have been having a fucking great time when Kat and Charlie's were read out.
Yeah.
And they start to take it real personal.
And then, yeah, so Bolton's get pulled out and he rips it up and he's like, oh, I'm not having someone dictate my future. And
well,
I'm
you
like,
wrote someone else's then. You chose someone else.
So Declan gets told that he's going to be famous, which is rich and famous, which is good, but that he's going to be onto his third wife and his fifth kid, and that if anyone asks him about his high school girlfriend, he won't even remember her name. He takes it badly, as you would assume, and he's like, I don't even want to know who wrote this. I can't believe that this is meant to be someone who's my friend.
You didn't say that when Charlie and Kat were read out, by the way.
You probably wrote them.
Yeah.
Turns out it was Danny.
That's the thing. So also, by the way, this is a perfect example as why teachers have to oversee things.
Yeah.
Because we would have proofread these beforehand. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so they go. So Declan stormed out of the shark pool. He's headed to the warehouse.
With Danny.
Danny is the one crying because she wrote it.
She's like, I tried to tell you. Tried to tell him what, Danielle? All you said was, I have something to tell you. Don't worry about it. I tried so hard to tell you.
And you wouldn't let me.
I tried again and again and again.
You know that one time that I immediately gave up?
You know that one time where I said I have something to tell you and then, like, you went on a little bit of a tangent and then said, what was it you wanted to tell me? And then I said, don't worry about it.
Well, I just couldn't.
I thought I'd just ruin your life with this prediction. He's pissed.
And she's, yeah, because she's like, you wouldn't let me tell you any other way. What other than saying he doesn't remember her and that he's got three ex-wives.
And five children.
The only way he'd listen.
She's like, well, I said you'd be rich and famous.
See, I do believe this because this is dumb shit teenager. This is dumb teenager logic.
Yeah.
This is prefrontal cortex.
Ridiculous.
So.
Back to the Bordinos.
Back to the Bordinos. Roberto finds the marriage license application and is like, let's get Stella the fuck down here. And Helen's like,
did you say Stella?
Yeah, Stella.
Oh. Like,
yeah.
I didn't hear Kat's that. Mom.
Yeah, he's like, we need to call. Stella needs to get over here.
I didn't hear
that. Yeah, I was excited.
Because I never pause it. I just write my notes.
No, I do pause. That's why it takes me 2 hours.
Did he say our daughter?
No, her daughter.
Okay, because I heard daughter and I was like, wait, what?
Just
retroactively. So
Stella got a mention. Helen's like, look, let's just wait for Kat to get distracted by something shiny. This is all going to peter out.
Helen's talking like a champ.
Yeah.
He comes in and he's like, look what I found in Kat's room. She's like, what the fuck are you doing in Kat's room?
Which is fair.
Yeah, and he's like, I know I shouldn't be in there, but look. And she's like, who cares?
They're not going to do it.
They're not getting married.
Yeah.
I love how it's always Roberto getting super worked up and Helen going, you just chill the fuck out, man.
It's going to be fine. Then we head to the warehouse where Bolton is building an effigy.
Of June,
yeah, it's supposed to be, but it doesn't look female enough, so they need a dress.
I feel like I would be affronted if kids made an effigy of me.
This
particularly the fact that it gets and ends up being like strung up by the neck.
This is why I was going to say. This is why muck up day. So you know how I was saying it was getting escalated, and there was at my high school as a student, the principal and two assistant principals, they created effigies that they put on noose and hung in the canteen.
That's pretty much what happens here, except they're hung on the outside of the building.
Yeah, this one, like, it was pretty serious. So that's what it was about. So, yeah, they've...
Not great.
They're getting a dress.
And particularly because Bolton and...
And June get along.
Yeah, but anyway, so she's like, he's like, oh, it needs a dress. And then he goes, oh, Kat says, oh, I can get one of Helen's old dresses.
Yeah.
And he's like, it needs not some old rag.
It needs to be nice.
It needs to be nice. And that made me laugh. Because I was like, well, I guess if he's making an effigy, at least he wants it to look nice.
Yeah.
So we're back at the Bordinos and apparently all of Helen's old stuff is kept in Con's room.
Yeah.
Because she goes in, she's looking for something and she finds Helen's wedding dress. So she's kind of holding it up against herself and obviously Roberto walks past the door.
Detective Roberto is on the case. Like, he's like, oh, my God.
So he runs back down to Helen and she's like, she was just holding up your wedding dress.
Charlotte's like, yeah.
And who gives a shit, mate?
And then Charlie walks in with a camera because they've decided they want to film the muck up day. So he wanders in with a camera. And Roberto's like, what do you need that camera for?
He's like, he goes up to him and he's like right up in face. And he goes, what do you need the camera for? Huh?
And they're like, it's a surprise because they don't want to say they're doing muck up day because they're in trouble. And he's like, dress, camera, what else could it be than a wedding?
Mind you, Kat does not take the wedding dress.
No, she just takes a blue. Well, actually, she doesn't even have a dress on her. Like,
when she leaves.
Yeah, no, she
somehow
doesn't.
They get it.
But anyway, muck up day. Bolton has his army.
Yeah, I said Bolton has a bunch of extras with water guns. So this is where we see the camouflage, where it's literally just like a couple of skid marks across the face.
Yeah, yeah.
It's funny though.
Then we go to Dyson's office, where Ronnie is also there to meet the Department of Education head.
There.
It's nice.
She's June's bestie.
And yeah, she is. And so I assume if I was a principal, you would literally just be in the office hanging out with me all the time. So that's fair.
My office, in your office.
Yeah, that's true. So June's like, you know, I'd love to hear about funding. He basically tells her to fuck off. And then he's saying, oh, well, we're here to make sure there's no funny business. And she's like, oh, I've organized this. And they seem to have listened. And at the time, it's calm. It is calm.
Because he's like, oh, it feels like the calm before the storm. And she's like, no, no, we're having a cricket match. The kids are down for it.
And he's like, how did you get them to? And I'm like, if you don't know how to get kids to listen to you, what the fuck are you doing as the head of Department of Education?
And she's like, oh, you just need to have open communication with them. Obviously, we know this has not worked.
Anyway, so then we have like these intercut scenes of all the Scooby Gang preparing. So we've got Declan and Charlie. Declan's like, I propose to Kat. And Charlie goes, I propose to Kat. And Declan goes, what, for life?
No, just for Christmas. Oh, if anyone doesn't know, there was an ad in Australia that used to say, like, puppies are for life, not just for Christmas.
Yeah.
That's why I was like,
it's a good reference, guys. And so he says, you know, I actually don't want to do it. Declan suggests that maybe you should talk to her. Then it goes to Kat and Danny, and Kat also wants out, and Danny's advice is just tell him. Danny and Declan are both giving advice they have not yet taken themselves.
Yeah.
Good work, guys.
Yeah.
That is the sound of, once again, the administration staff of this school failing to be at their fucking desk.
So we see Bolton walks in, and obviously the place where you announce things from, like, it's the same in our front office.
Yeah.
You got a little microphone with a button. I've used it. It's fun. And apparently their music's just on a little tape recorder.
That's
there.
What I remember at primary school. When you were in primary school, we were in charge of pressing the bell because it wasn't on timers then, and playing the music if you were the duty student, and it was on tape, yeah.
Okay. So he's got a tape of music and announces muck up day, but there is not a single front desk person / receptionist / anyone at any given time at my school. There's at least 5 people at reception.
Yeah.
I did. As soon as I saw it, I was like, Leanne's going to be pissed.
One teacher does walk past.
He hides.
And then he hides.
It
so
was
it's
an
fine.
Extra that we saw earlier.
Yeah, look at him. He's getting around.
He got in there
good
twice.
On him.
Good job.
So it's going down. Look, as a teacher, how dare they? But it looks really fun, their muck-up day.
It does look
it
fun.
Awesome.
So they drive in Con's old car. The Scooby Gang are in the car. They've got a billion red helium balloons.
Yeah.
And they let a bunch of them out of the – I mean, don't let balloons go because it's really bad for
– birds and the environment.
Birds and the environment. But
– this is the 90s. They didn't know that then.
No, they didn't give a shit then. So they let all these balloons go, and then they're all – they've all got their water pistols and they're running around, I assume, getting non-year 12s because all these other kids run away from
but
them.
But they're also squirting each other and stuff like that. Yeah. So it looks so much fun. And then Don and June come out, and their entire strategy is just to get wet.
Don, like, gets hit by a water bomb.
Don gets hit. Matt has his shirt off and has fantastic arms, by the way.
Yeah. Really good job, Vince.
The soundtrack is Custard's the synthesizer is rapidly overtaking the guitar. I can't remember the whole title. As the most popular instrument in the world. I think that's the whole title. It's such a long title, which is a great song. And then someone takes it too far, which is what always happens with teenagers and unsupervised activities.
Mm-hmm. So my note was, a kid breaks a window with what, a Molotov cocktail? So someone throws an object that smashes one of the windows and somehow, like, I think lands in the bin or something.
Yeah, like a paper basket bin.
Yeah, good shot. But it catches fire.
And so Dyson and Summers still have zero crowd control capacity. Honestly, if my principal came out there, hell, if I went out there and I was like, that is enough, like kids would listen.
Yeah.
I don't understand. So eventually I think Charlie recognises that there's smoke coming out of the windows.
Yeah, so there's smoke and then the smoke alarm goes off.
Yep.
But I think Danny.
Danny has to grab, literally like slaps Don. Summers in the back and is like, look, and then has to lead him to where it is.
Yeah. So, I mean, there was damage. So my notes were Summers is big mad and now and.
So yeah, it cuts to the office of him like yelling at Dyson. Then it cuts to the school, at the classroom where where Dyson says if, you know.
She threatens a Scooby gang and says that they won't be able to sit the HSC.
And they're all like, you can't do that. And she just says, you can't sit it here, which they she can. That's a completely legitimate.
And Summers does say, well, she can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a completely. And so you were talking before about how the kids had to go to the city. That's the only other punishment we have left once exam time comes around for year 12s is you don't do it here.
Yeah. Yeah. And so as well as like you might be able to say to them, you know, you're not doing your exams here. You're not coming to the formal.
Yeah.
You're not coming to the breakfast. It's that kind of stuff, which really does fucking suck when you get to the end of year 12. Like no one wants that as their punishment.
So
Matt's the main suspect.
Matt's the prime suspect.
As per usual.
Bolton's having a great day though. So
yeah. Bolton's loved it. Matt has copped it from June. She's like, just tell the truth.
Yeah.
I didn't even think he was anywhere close to him.
Do you know what's crazy though? I feel like this is the climax of the story here. Like this is the big part of the story.
Yeah.
And it's like there's only about 10 minutes left of the episode.
Yeah, it was wrapped up pretty quick.
Yeah, super fast.
So Matt obviously says he doesn't do it. They go, then suddenly we're back at the beach. We're back at the beach?
No, we're on the bench outside the school and Danny and Declan sort out their thing.
Yeah, so Danny and Declan talk. She is going. She's decided that she is going to go. They hug. I guess they're broken up now. And so, yeah.
Great.
Danny gets zero fanfare, considering that she has been on the show the longest.
We were talking about this before we started recording.
Yeah.
She is, other than Bolton, and even Bolton wasn't a member of the Scooby Gang, he wasn't on the credits initially, and he wasn't in every episode.
Hmm.
Danny has been in every single episode since episode one.
Yeah.
And this is how it's going to end.
So we'll talk. Declan knows that she's going.
Yeah.
The rest of them don't find out until literally the last 2 minutes of the episode.
Actual scene, yeah. Anyway, so they've all sorted out. Then
Shark pool.
I waited. Then they go there and they're sort of commiserating and they sort of basically roll tape. They watch back the thing.
Yeah, so they're making fun of Charlie's lack of videography skills, I guess. But Kat's watching and she's like, hey, wait a second, just rewind it. And they managed to catch our old mate Sunny.
Because she's like, I know those shirtless arms and they are not Matt Logan's shirtless arms.
So it turns out Sunny was there and he threw the smoke bomb that caught fire.
Which is hilarious because just as they go, it's Sunny, because Bolton says it's Sunny Bates. And then he rolls up and he's like, time for a game of pool.
Yeah, literally, literally waiting outside the door. As soon as they realize it's him, he walks in. And so they're like, we've called the cops. It's over. You shouldn't have, like, and then he does kind of say that he's like, I owed you one, Logan. So he did.
We never know what he did.
Maybe he dobbed Sunny in and that's why Sunny got.
Because he goes, you got yourself kicked out of school. I don't know.
Yeah.
So we go to school the next day and Dyson thanks them for their detective work because fuck it, the cops were not going to find that out.
Yep. And they're allowed to sit their HSC at the school.
That's exciting.
And Danny says thank you to Ronnie and Dyson on behalf of all of them.
The only two staff members who stayed with them through the year.
And I think that's fair enough.
That's very nice.
They've both been good.
Yeah.
I like that Dyson's, particularly the way she is with Bolton.
Yes.
Yeah.
But also she is fair.
Yeah.
But she's also fairly tough. Remember when Delarain would be like, who's, you know what, punch is a punch. Yeah, it's
like
fine.
Like on fucking and also on child molesters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very chill about it.
Mm.
So Charlie and Kat agree not to get married.
They mutually back out of them. Which impending is nice. Nuptials.
Just in time for Roberta to go, ha-ha, we know you're getting married.
And they're like, and then Kat's like, what?
What? Who would do that?
He's like, Helen was worried that you were.
Helen's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Roberto and Helen have to stay here all the time because they're our lightness.
Is there a point where we just don't see them anymore?
When we don't see them anymore, we know they're leaving. I can't think of anyone who does an Effie. Okay. Where there was no explanation.
They just ceased to exist.
Yeah.
Okay.
Effie's the only one that Effie and Ruby are the only ones where we're like, where did they go?
Oh, Ruby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the time capsule. This is the weirdest.
This is the most bomb-proof.
Which she's also got engraved with a plaque that's welded to.
I just assumed that this thing would be like a plastic bottle or something like that. But they've got something that would survive a nuclear explosion. And they all put different things in there. And like Bolton puts his nose ring in there.
And then they put
their terrible 10-year thingos in there.
And they all sort of like, you know, circle around each other. And she goes, oh, just so you know.
Can I just point out, they are burying this at the beach in a public place.
Yeah. I think they're burying it in the same place where she and Nick planted their rose. Like it was the same sort of aspect where it was like a high cliff sort of leading to.
Maybe.
Yeah. their adultery rose.
Wherever it is, it's on public land. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure you can't do that.
She goes, you guys have been the best friends ever, but I'm outie. So yeah,
she just goes, oh, I got offered a job in Wollongong and I'm taking it, so I won't see you guys for the rest of the year.
But I love you all.
And then they
sing Jimmy Crack Corn.
Yeah. My last thing is
what?
My last note is Jimmy Crack Corn?
I don't understand.
Maybe it was like because remember Seb said that they had like inside jokes?
Maybe.
Maybe that was an inside joke for Emma.
They were like, just do something.
Danny.
Do something funny. Yeah. As your goodbye shot, and then that's what they did. Maybe. Yeah.
So literally that is Danny's – after four seasons and her being the longest-running character, she gets to tell the rest of them she's leaving in the last 30 seconds, and then that's it. This show does my head in sometimes.
When Ali left, they threw her a party.
Yeah.
When Con left, they created the worst rap known to man. They didn't know that – Rivers was leaving.
They had a wedding for Jack and
Rose. Rivers at least got like a reunion with Sam before he left.
Yeah.
You know, like there was some. Jody came back and did like a big performance.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think who else has left. Chaka had a party.
Mm-hmm. No, Danny's just – and yeah, that was it. She's the longest running cast member thus far and was just like, oh, I'm not going to be here for the exams. Bye, guys. Bye, Danny.
Bye. All right. So – she does get a goodbye on the Where Are They Now webpage.
Okay.
So Danny is living in Bathurst, leading the typical life of a university student, working hard, playing hard. Danny is one third of her way through her communications degree.
I thought she got a job.
Yeah, but it's like I'm not done. She won a placement with a local paper and is reporting a livestock auction results. It's a small start, but she's confident she'll work her way up to the top before too long. So I guess it didn't last, that job.
I don't know. I think they just didn't take it into account.
No.
Because her storyline is that she's got a cadet, basically a traineeship as a TV reporter.
Maybe they were like, now you've done the traineeship, go get your degree.
Maybe.
Maybe. So.
That's good.
She's one of the few people that is doing what she said she wanted to do.
And I'm glad she did well.
Yeah.
For the most part, Danny was one of my favourites. She did have her moments.
Yes.
That gave me the shits, like her 24-hour drug dependency problem. And also that time where she like. Also linked to the drug problem where she refused to believe Ali that a current affair lady was like using her for a storyline. She could be naive. She got nudes taken. Remember Nick went and got him back?
He did with the fake dog.
Yeah.
So she dated three of the main male cast members.
Nick was a flash in the pan, but Nick, Steve and Declan.
Yeah. Hmm. Also, so on this Where Are They Now page, just to give you a heads up, out of the 14 stories we have, 9 of the characters have left.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So there must be a point where they just stopped doing it.
Yeah. That when we get to the new cast.
The finale of this entire show.
Yeah. I feel like we've talked about it before. Yeah.
Was it just like those one of those situations where they thought it was going to keep going and it just stops in the middle of nowhere? Or was it like, this is the last year that we're seeing through to end of year 12.
It's not the end of year 12.
Okay.
But the showrunners, I think.
Is there a wrap-up?
There is a wrap-up. There is a clear ending of the show.
Okay.
I don't love the ending.
Okay.
Okay, tell me. Who is your student of the week?
I don't know. There's no one that massively stands out. I mean, Charlie and Kat were stupid for thinking they were going to get married. Bolton went ahead with the muck-up plans when he shouldn't have and got June with the flower. There's not, I don't know, there wasn't really anyone. And then Danny chose the worst possible way to tell Declan she was leaving. No one.
No one. I'm giving it to... See, I've got nothing to... What can I do, I'm giving it to Matt for having excellent arms, but that's not really a reason.
Look, if that's the only thing we can come up with, he does have excellent arms.
He does. So good job, Matt.
Yeah. Hold on.
Hang on. Was it him that Seb was saying he used to have to, like, beat up before a scene? Was it him or someone else?
Oh, when they used to hit each other?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was.
Oh, there you go. Who is your student on suspension?
I mean, it would probably have to be Bolton.
Yeah, I was going to say it has to be Bolton. I don't want to. In spirit, I don't want to, but – oh, hang on, the other way around. In spirit, I have to give it to him because he's the one who organised the muck-up day. But
yeah. And look, things all worked out all right.
He also figured out it was Sunny, so good job. He recognised the face. We're lightly giving you a suspension. You can still – you have to stay home during the exam revision period.
Okay.
Done. Who's your teacher of the week? There's only two. There's so few.
Out of the two, I think – I mean, I don't feel like Ronnie was part of it enough. I mean, at the beginning she was kind of going, you've got to give him something, which I do agree with to an extent, which is why we had the dress-up day at my last school, because that was kind of like, you can do this.
They have to have something.
You can't do any of this other shit.
I'm giving it to Dyson because she was fair. Like, it wasn't –
she did thank them at the end.
Yeah, she only cancelled it officially when
she got flowered.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
So I'm giving it to Dyson. My staff member on notice is Don Summers because he should not be in his job at all.
Yep.
I'm not going to ask you for predictions because it's hard to predict on an end of season.
My only prediction is obviously they're going to get new characters.
Yeah.
Obviously.
And look, after Steve.
Do they get any more new teachers?
Yeah.
Okay.
After Steve, no one died. If we don't count Steve's death as this season, which we kind of have to because that's how it's dealt with, but he technically died last season. That was the last time we saw him.
Well, no, because he didn't turn up for the first day of school.
That's right. Fair.
So I think we did have a death.
Were
there any more deaths?
We had two deaths in season one.
But are there any more?
One in season. Not that I know of.
Finished killing people off?
I think they finished killing people off.
Okay.
Maybe they might kill off side characters.
Okay. Remember when they killed that cop?
Joe.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Didn't see that coming either.
All right. if you haven't yet, it's still a couple of weeks until I'll close the end of season awards. So that'll be on our Instagram, which is at snarkbreakhigh. You can also email us at snarkbreakhigh@gmail.com. If you're like, I'm just going to send you my thoughts about the season. I'm not filling out a damn form. It's optional.
Feel free to go onto the post about my house being robbed and just tell me creative things that could happen to the dude that robbed my house.
Please give us vengeance ideas.
Yeah.
Don't incriminate yourself. Your name's attached, but you know.
creative
writing things. Exercise.
Even if it's things like if this guy manages to like stub his toe every single day for the rest of his life.
Great. Step on a Lego every day.
Yeah. That's something like that.
Yeah.
Just a whole bunch of little things I think would add up. That'd be cool. Fuck that guy.
Always. Gets the red light as he's approaching.
Okay.
Yeah.
Subtle.
It's nice because you know how – because I get fucking furious. Always catch the reds. Anyway, I'm getting distracted.
Gets gangrene in the dick.
That's me amputated. Becomes a eunuch.
Yeah. I'm all right with.
All right. And on that note, why do we end it on the fucking weirdest notes?
On a good note. Because like I said, it's 31 degrees today here.
Yeah.
We are going to go get gelato.
Hooray.
Yay.
Which we always judged when we were in Italy and got gelato.
We're those fuckers that go, it's good, but it's not as good as the gelato we had in Italy.
Because we ate for dinner every day. We didn't eat dinner. We ate gelato.
It was fucking good.
It was good. Anyway. Bye. Gelato on, folks.
I'll do that again.
Yeah.
Bye.